Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
How much do you love the Lord? You know, the Bible says that we're to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We're to love Him with everything that we are, with everything that we have, because that's exactly how He loves us. He hasn't held back His love from us. He has loved us with an everlasting love, with a deep, passionate love. And that's the kind of love He wants us to love Him with. He wants us to have that same passion for Him. He doesn't want it to be one-sided, lopsided. He wants us to be mutually in love. Him loving us, we're loving Him. Not Him just loving us and chasing us around all the time, and we're loving everything else. We're chasing after everything else. He wants us chasing after Him. And if we'll chase after Him, we're going to run into Him. We're just going to run into each other. Ooh, there's going to be an explosion. Something's going to happen. Because God's not running from us. I said He's not running from us. He's running towards us. He's passionate towards us. So we want to just stop running from Him. Somebody said, I'm not running from Him. Most people are. And they don't even realize how much they're running from Him. It goes all the way back to Adam in the very beginning. God was saying, Adam, where are you? And Adam was hiding. Man's been doing it ever since. Ever since. You know, just hiding behind all kinds of things. Hiding behind things. But God wants us to come out and fearlessly surrender and yield to His love, and to love Him in return, to be passionate towards Him. Remember, we talked about in our text in this series over in John chapter 4, 23. This has been our text in this series on worshiping God. It says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers, true worship isn't just something that worships occasionally, this is a worshiper. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. This is what the Father is seeking, and He wants us to be seeking Him, and that's what worship does. Worship comes and seeks after God, pours itself out to God, and loves Him. We saw that the word worship means to kiss. It's one of the meanings of it is to kiss, and a worshiper is an adorer. Someone who loves someone deeply and devotedly, a lover. And we talked about how worship is likened to a marriage relationship. And so because it's like a marriage relationship, really marriage is a type or a picture of what worship is supposed to be. Our relationship with God is supposed to be. It's supposed to be intimate. It's supposed to be deep. It's supposed to be full of affection. And tender affection and care and love for one another. We should tenderly, affectionately care about God. We should want to please Him. We should want to make Him happy. We should be looking to make Him happy. Be concerned about Him. Is the Lord getting everything He wants? What can I do to help the Lord? What can I do to minister to Him, to give to Him, to make Him happy? What can I do to refresh Him? A lot of people think, well, God don't need anything. Yeah, then He wouldn't be seeking something. If He didn't need anything, He wouldn't be seeking something. And what He's seeking is worship. He's looking for your love. He's looking for your affection. He's a very loving and affectionate God. And a loving and affectionate person wants to be loved and have affection. That's what they want. Well, that's how God is. And we've been created in His image and His likeness. So that's why we're that way. That's why we desire that. But the place we're supposed to be being satisfied in that area is in worship. It's in our relationship with Him. Our marriage covenant relationship with God. And because it's likened to a marriage, when people begin to put their affection and their love into other things, when God is supposed to get all of our love and all of our affection, when people start loving other things, they are really committing adultery on God. They're cheating on Him. That's how God views it. That's how He views sin. That's how He views us loving and being affectionate for other things. He views it as we're committing adultery on Him. We're cheating on Him. We're loving someone else above Him. Now, you think about a marriage relationship, and you think about how awful that would be for a man to be cheating on his wife or a wife to be cheating on her husband and to be showing affection and love for someone else rather than the one they're married to. How painful, how terrible, how heartbreaking. And people have gone through that kind of thing. And it's a terrible thing to have to go through. It's a violent thing. Well, this is how it is with God. We should take that and learn about Him. And learn about the Father's heart. And how we can be doing that to Him. When we are looking the other way. Looking somewhere else. Being more interested in other things. Being more interested in His creation than in Him who created those things. And think of how hard that must be on Him. He created all the things. And then we're going to go ahead, instead of being like, wow, God, we're like, wow, things. I mean, think about that. It's like, hey, I made it. Why would you fall in love with the thing? Why would you have Google eyes? Why would you have these, like, why would you be like that towards the thing when He created, He's the master. He formed it. He made it. He did it. But we look at the creation, and we forget about Him. And people fall in love with the things. They fall in love with other people. Forgetting that, wow, God, we should be more impressed with Him. I said we should be more impressed with Him than the things. We should be falling down head over heels over Him in awe of Him. Not falling apart and being overwhelmed over stuff. Over things, over people. We love people. People are great. We're a people. So we love people. People are important, but He's the creator of people. All people. He's the creator of all people. So, wow, God. Wow, you see something in the creation, and you think, man, I got to get that. I got to have that. And, you know, there's people, they'll do anything. They'll sell everything. They'll do whatever it takes to purchase this thing that they want or get that thing that they want. And meanwhile, it's like, He's the one that made it. How much more passionate should we be for getting to know Him, getting close to Him, and experience Him, especially knowing that through Jesus Christ, we can do it. A way has been made back to Him where we can draw near to God, be close to Him, and experience Him in our life. We can have this. This is the most awesome thing about what Jesus did for us. He brought us back to God, and He opens up the throne room of God, and He says, have at it. Come on in. My Father is waiting for you. Come in. Delight yourself in your God. Get to know your Father. There's all kinds of mysteries, hidden secrets that He wants to share. He wants to unveil to you. He wants to reveal to you. Draw near to Him. He will draw near to you. Jesus was forsaken of God so that you could draw near to God, that you could be close to God. This is what He did. This is the amazing thing that Jesus did for us. Heaven is in awe of it. Angels are in awe of it. They're amazed that, like, God did this for us, and He made a way into the deeper places of God that even angels cannot enter into. The Bible says in Peter, the book of Peter, they desire to look into these things, but they don't have access. We've got access. I said, we've got access. And Moses is a great example, you know. And he didn't even have the fullness of it. He was still an old covenant man. We've got a new covenant, which is a much better covenant. But yet, look at Moses, right? Going out there meeting with God. Just going into the presence of God. And the Bible says whenever he'd go into the tabernacle, the cloud would come down. And everybody would stand in the door of their tent and just watch. And just look over there. And they'd just see that cloud over the tabernacle. And then Moses would come out. He'd come out just glowing with God. And they'd be looking like, man, what happened? What did he just see? What is going on in there? What is he experiencing? But the Bible says there was a man by the name of Joshua who wouldn't leave the tabernacle. He wouldn't come out. And he was the one that eventually took Moses' place and led the children of Israel into the promised land. He was a man that, Bible says he was a young man, and he just remained in that place in the glory of God. He didn't want to come out of that tabernacle. Him taking the people into the promised land was not really a big deal to him. He had already been in the presence of God, the presence of the Lord. And when you've been in the presence of the Lord, the promised land pales in comparison. The promised land pales in comparison to the presence of the Lord. And that's when God really can trust you with things. It's when you're in love with him. When you're just head over heels over him, you have set your affections on him. That's when he can trust you with things. Because things won't cause you to have an idolatrous heart. So that you depart from him and fall in love with those things and pursue those things. We're hot in pursuit of him. Amen. Over in Matthew chapter 4, you remember Jesus, he went out to pray and he was fasting and the devil came to him and tempted him. And one of the things the devil said to him was this. He said to him, all these things, showed him all the things of the world, all the kingdoms of this world. Showed him all the great things of this world. And the devil said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. In other words, if you'll fall down, pay homage to me, if you'll kiss my ring, kiss my hand, if you'll just love and worship me, all these things will be yours. See, we have to understand that when we're in love with things, we're falling for Satan's trap. And we're actually kissing the devil. We're kissing the devil. We're worshiping the devil when we are falling apart over things, being overwhelmed by things. Man, I don't want to kiss the devil. I mean, I don't want to go into eternity and find out that I was down here cheating on Jesus with him, with demons. And yet I think a lot of people are going to wake up to that someday. They're going to stand there before him after being physically resurrected. They're going to stand before the Lord and they're going to find out as they stand before the judgment seat of Christ and realize they've been kissing demons. They've been smooching with demons. They've been cheating on Jesus. They've been cheating on God over things. But it really isn't things. It's falling down and worshiping him who gets your eyes on things. See, that's what the devil did here. He got you. He was trying to get Jesus' eyes on things. Showed him all the things. And there was the next thing. Worship me, and it's yours. You want this? Worship me. Kiss me. Love me. Give me yourself. Give me your life. And I'll give you all these things. So we have to understand that falling in love with things is idolatry. And idolatry is spiritual adultery. That's why he says over in James, the fourth chapter. James, the fourth chapter. I'm excited about this word. No more breaking God's heart. No more. I was going to say in the littlest things, there is no little thing. When you're adultery is not a little thing. On what level is it little? Is it little when you're flirting? You're flirting with things? Is that little? Is that little to the spouse? The spouse finds out that their spouse is flirting. Well, they didn't actually do anything, but they were flirting with it. That hurts, right? So it's never little. It's never little. But a lot of times you think, I'm not really an adult. I don't really. Let's be sold out the whole route. Totally committed to him. Totally purified by this word today. That there's no unfaithfulness in us whatsoever. Devil is not going to have our devotion. The world's not going to have our worship. We're going to serve the living God. We're going to worship our Father. We're going to worship the Lord Jesus. We're going to love him with everything that's in us. We are setting our affections and our passions on him. We're setting on it. We're setting them on him. It doesn't just happen. You got to set your affections on him. He actually tells us that over in Colossians, I believe the 3rd chapter. Hold your place in James. Colossians chapter 3, it says, set your affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. Verse 1, he says, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind. Well, it says mind, but actually another translation, I think it's actually Old King James, says affection. So setting your mind on something, that's good. I'm glad I went to that. Because setting your mind on something is setting your affections on it. Giving your soul to it. Set your mind on things above, or set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. You got to put it to death. You got to shut it down. You can't allow your flesh to dominate you. If you just go through life and you aren't aggressive about this, it will dominate you. And you will cheat on the Lord. You will cheat on the Lord. So you have to make a decision to do this. You have to set your mind, set your affections on him. Back to James chapter 4, he says in verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Notice that. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So when he's talking about adulterers and adulteresses, he's not talking about adultery between a man and a woman. He's talking about adultery between a child of God and him. Someone committing adultery on God. How do you do that? By befriending the world. By befriending the world. Honey, I asked my wife, you think it'd be okay if I had a girlfriend? That's not going to go over good. It's hard for even to look at you and say that. I'm sorry. Is it okay if I have a girlfriend? We're just friends. Oh, we're just friends. That's nice. I don't think so. You mind if I have a boyfriend? No. That's not going to work out very well. Friendship with the world. Friendship with the world doesn't work out very well with God. I said it doesn't work out very well with God. He says, do you not know? Don't you know? A lot of people don't know this, but thank God we're getting educated in the Word. Aren't you glad you're getting educated in the Word? I don't want to be a person that's a know-not. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to stand for judgment and say, I don't know. That wouldn't be good. That's no excuse. Well, I didn't know. Well, you should have. Especially if you live in Louisville. Do you not know? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. The word enmity there means perfect mutual hatred. Perfect mutual hatred. You are hating God when you make yourself a friend of the world. Just like a husband befriending a girl is despising and hating his wife. And vice versa. You're hating your spouse. You're not loving them. You're not even liking them. You're betraying them. You're being a Judas. You're hating them. You're making yourself an enemy of your spouse. It's the same thing with God. Perfect mutual hatred. You're putting yourself as, you're making yourself an enemy with God and making God your enemy. And honestly, you're provoking some of his deepest passions. Proverbs talks about, it says, anger is cruel, wrath is a torrent, but who can stand before jealousy? And God is a jealous God. He's jealous over you and I. And we are really messing with his deepest, deepest passion. Thank God he's long-suffering and patient. But we don't want to just keep poking at him and doing things that are just so hurtful to him, to his heart, after all he's done for us. We're not going to befriend the world. I'm not a friend of the world. In fact, I'm so much not a friend of the world, I don't want anybody to mistake that I'm a friend for the world by the way I live. I want to live in such a clear way that everybody can see that guy is no friend of the world. He's no friend of Hollywood. He's no friend of everything that consists of the world. Nobody's going to get it confused with me. It shouldn't be. People shouldn't get it confused at all. It should be very clear. It should be very clear to the devil and to the world. Excuse me, I'm taken. I'm devoted to the Lord. You don't have me. I'm not going to boogie-woogie with you. I'm not going to move and shake with you. Hello, somebody. That's not me. It's not who I am. I'm loving Jesus. I'm not cheating on Jesus. I'm not sneaking out thinking he doesn't see what's going on. Because he sees everything. He sees everything. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Think about that. How many people believe Jesus is a friend of sinners? Don't raise your hand if you do. Because he's not. A lot of people have the idea, yeah, the Bible says Jesus is a friend of sinners. Jesus is a friend of sinners. In fact, somebody even wrote a book. A minister wrote a book called Friend of Sinners. See, and this is Jesus. Jesus is a friend of sinners. Friend, I got news for you. Jesus was never a friend of sinners. Jesus came to be a physician to those who were sick, to sinners that were sick spiritually, sick and demented in the way they lived their life. He came as a physician. He never came as their friend. He came as their savior. He came as their deliverer. But he never came to be their friend. He didn't befriend sinners and tax collectors. He didn't do that. The Bible says he was a friend of sinners and tax collectors. I know it's written in the Bible, but you got to look at who said it. And it was the religious Pharisees who had him crucified. That's who said it. It didn't come from inspiration of God through some prophet or through the Lord himself. It came from those who were enemies of Jesus who wanted to kill him. They said he's a friend of sinners and tax collectors. And there's church folks that have grabbed that and said, he's a friend of sinners. Drinking what they drink. Smoking what they smoke. Listening to what they listen to. Watching what they're watching. Doing what they're doing. He ain't doing that. He says, in fact, if you do that, you're an enemy of his. So why would you even act like you do that? To try to win unsaved people to him. Is that not a confusing message? I'm going to act like sinners act. I'm going to take the same culture that we see in the world, the same hip-hop stuff in the world. We're going to bring this culture here into the church so that we can win sinners. That's a confusing message because Jesus wants them to know he's not a friend of that mess. He doesn't play with that. If you want him, you have to leave those things. You have to leave all those things. Forsaking all, you now come and take hold of him. And now you pursue a holy, set apart from the world kind of life. That's the kind of life he's looking for from us, and that's our message. And we shouldn't be confused about our message. A lot of folks are confused about the message. But James is written to them. Adulterers and adulteresses. Verse 5, he says, or do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? He yearns jealously. Now, is this true? It's hard sometimes to really, you know, get that God is yearning jealously over me? Yes. The Bible says he is. I believe what the Bible says, not my feelings. I'm just going to go with what the Bible says. Let me read it from the ISV translation. He says, or do you think the scripture means nothing when it says that the spirit that God caused to live in us jealously yearns for us? He's jealous. He's jealous for us. The CB translation. Do you think the scriptures mean nothing? The spirit that God made to live in us wants us for himself alone. He wants us for himself alone. Somebody say, he wants me. It sounds pretty passionate, doesn't it? Sounds pretty intense. I think that's pretty cool. Just to know that God wants you that bad. That God wants me that bad. I mean, you know, again, that makes praying real easy. That makes praising and worshiping real easy. When you know you're not trying to get his attention, you've already got that. He's been yearning jealously for you for a long time. We're just starting to get caught up to it through his word. We're just starting to get it. But this is how he is towards us. You talk about getting prayers answered. Yeah, I think so. He wants to give me everything. He wants to give me himself. I mean, he already has, but he wants to get it over to me. In other words, he wants me to receive it. That's why he says, come to church so you can receive, so your faith can be built up, and you can recognize how much your Heavenly Father wants to give you good things, how he wants to take care, how much he loves you. That's what he's doing to us right now. This is all about. You got to understand it. You got to look at everything in the context of this deep love for us. When you read the Bible, see the deep love of God for you. See God jealously yearning for you. Don't see what so many people see, and that's this legalistic tyrant of a God. Because that's how the world thinks. The world's into tyranny. I mean, it's the most insane thing, you know, when you see people voting for tyrants, voting for people whose track record is to take away your freedom and dominate your life. But there's people that they vote for. That. You go back into the Old Testament, and you had the prophet Samuel, and the people said, we don't want you to rule over us. We want a king, just like all the other nations. We want a dictator. That's what we want. I mean, it's like, are you insane? You want a dictator? Is that really what? We want somebody to rule over us. We want somebody to dominate us. That's what they were crying out to Samuel. Samuel's like, these people are nuts. He goes back to God. He says, Lord. I mean, he's getting all messed up over it. God says, listen, Samuel, don't take it personally. It's not you they're rejecting. It's me they've rejected. They don't want me to rule over them. See? They're just hiding behind their dictator. They're just hiding behind all these things. It really is a rejection of God because it doesn't make sense otherwise. Why would people embrace communism? Why would they embrace atheism? Why would they do that? Communism and atheism are partners. Why would people embrace that and so passionate about it? What is driving that passion? It's their idolatrous hearts. It's their desire to not have God rule over them. They want God out of their mind. They hate In God We Trust. They hate anything to do with God. They want prayer out of the schools. They want Bibles out of our way. They want to shut down churches. They want to take away our freedom. Why would people want to give their freedom up to other people? Why would they want to do that? All to just say, hide me from the face of him. Hide me from God. That's what it's all about. It's all spiritual. They want to hide from the reality of God. They want to hide their conscience from him. They don't want him pricking at their conscience anymore. They want to be left alone. They want to live the sinful life that they want to live. They want to live the way they want to live. That's just how it is. And when you see Christians getting caught up in that, and you look at Christians and you go, you don't know who to vote for? You're confused? Oh, okay. Maybe we should be reading James 4 more often. And I didn't mention any politician. But things are becoming very clear these days of what people believe and what they want. It's amazing I'm saying this because I had a dream last night. And I was in a Chinese restaurant. And I was in a Chinese restaurant with two other people. I don't know who they were. And everything was stripped in the Chinese restaurant. It was the most plainest place you could be in. There wasn't a picture on the wall. Just as plain as could be. And an Oriental man stood in front of me. He was like a government leader. And he said, everything's going to be the same for everybody. No, there's going to be no variety. There's going to be, and he said some other things. And then he said, no, none of this religious freedom. That's what he said. And so then I was like, okay. So, you know, you felt really threatened by it. So he walked out the door. When I walked out the door, all the trees were stripped. All the big branches were all cut off. All the branches were cut off these trees. So they were stripping everything of its glory and its splendor. I think it was an Oriental man because China is a communist country. And I believe this is something that's threatening our country. It's trying to get in here. The same spirits behind it over in China and other places are trying to get into America. And so, you know, we started walking away, and then they came out and they started saying things behind us. The two guys with me just took off running. And I started to run. I thought, I ain't going to be able to outrun these people. So I just went off into the side there. And that was the end of the dream. But I've been having dreams like that lately. Very clear. Very clear. Clear dreams with messages like that. People with idolatrous hearts that are cheating on God and people that don't want a relationship with him are going to the extreme to get away from him by embracing all kinds of beliefs that justify living a life free of the word of God, free of God. That's what's going on in the world. So it'll happen to Christians. If you keep committing adultery, you adul yourself. I'm talking about spiritual adultery. If you are continuously having a relationship with the world, you're playing with Satan. He will deceive you quick. He will darken your eyes and make you dumb very quickly. But you know, when you get closer and closer to the Lord, you get more intimate with him, you get more light, more understanding, and God brightens you up and makes you smart. God will actually make you smarter. But you get further and further into the devil, you'll get dumber and dumber and dumber. Dumber and dumber and dumber. You'll be wise to do evil. You'll be wise to do wrong. There's a lot of people that are very wise to do wrong. God wants you for his own. He wants you for his own. The Amplified Classic says it this way. Or do you suppose that the scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us, and he yearns for the spirit to be welcome with jealous love. Man, he just wants us to welcome him. Wants us to welcome him. We're not chasing after him. He just wants us to just say, yes, yes, I stop getting in your way. I stop hindering you. I welcome you into my life. I welcome you into my life. Can you say amen? Amen. This is the heart of God to us today. Isn't that amazing? What an affectionate, passionate, loving, caring, tender God, sensitive, where he gets provoked to jealousy, it hurts him, he's yearning for you. This is the God who we're coming to know, the God that saved us and delivered us, gave his life for us. He loves you just that much. Now let's open our hearts. Let's receive him. Let's open our hearts. Let's receive his love and not stand in his way anymore. Or run away from him anymore. Or pursue other things over him anymore. Let's get affectionate with God. I said, let's get affectionate. Let's get good at it. Let's just practice going in there and getting on our knees, perhaps, and just loving him, giving our affections to him. Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you care about him. Tell him how important he is to you. See, Lord, help me to open up and receive your love in my life. Help me to not get in your way, Lord. Rather than just coming to him saying, God, give me the stuff. I need the things. God, I've been believing for the things. Father, in the name of Jesus, your promise is said that I can have things. I want my things. I'm believing God for my things. God's like, I made all things. I'll add those things. But if you worship those things, not only are you not going to get the thing, but you're going to get me upset. I think a lot of prayers are upsetting him. Maybe. Maybe a lot of prayers are upsetting him. He wants us to claim his promises, but when it's all about that, when it's all about the things, and there's no, oh, God, wow, wow, wow. When there's no wow, awe and wonder of him, and we're just praying for things, things aren't right. I said things aren't right. But thank God we can get it right. Let's make sure we're praising him, worshiping him, pouring our affections out on him. And then we come over here and say, Lord, thank you that these needs here, I thank for your glory, for your honor. I thank you that I prosper. I thank you for my health. I thank you for taking care of these things, Father. Devil's not going to keep me from those things in the name of Jesus. And then after you talk about that a little bit, fall back down, worship him some more. Oh, thank you. That's taken care of. I know it's not a problem. I love you, and I'm going to use all these things for your glory. And we just together, Father, we thank you. We're just going to live this life together. We're going to flow together. Oh, thank you, Father. Just love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him. Amen. Don't just talk about the stuff. Come and get your needs met. God will meet all your needs according to Israel. Thank God for it. But he wants you to want him. That's what he's saying this morning. I want you to want me. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you for arresting our attention, Lord. Getting us. Getting a hold of our souls. Getting a hold of our affections, God. Pulling us back to you. Lord, wherever we have strayed, wherever we have turned away. We ask you to forgive us right now. We repent of it as sin. And we receive forgiveness. We receive cleansing. And we thank you so much for helping us to draw near to you and get intimate with you, close to you like never before. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. We want to know you, the living God. We want to know you more than have anything else. In Jesus' name, thank you for helping us. We give you all the praise. Amen. Praise God. Why don't we stand on our feet for a minute? Let's just thank the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org, and you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.